independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I have never met with or had any conversation with any Russians or any foreign officials concerning any type of interference with any campaign or election in the United States.
Jeff Sessions today. Spotlight on him. Cameras. The oath, I solemnly swear. And then away it went. Away it went, because this, my friends, as Mr. Burr, the Senate Intel Chair, will tell you, is about finding out the facts for America.
We will establish the facts, separate from rampant speculation, and lay them out for the American people to make their own judgment. Only then will we as a nation be able to put this episode to rest and look to the future.
I don't think the nation's really caring if this episode goes through. I don't think how many people are paying attention. Last week was interesting with Comey. I thought today was, but I thought after a while last week with Comey, I've often wondered, like, each one of them should get, like, two questions. You could do this in an hour, right? You can do this in an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Maybe a break in the middle, everybody can get a drink, snack, whatever they need. Sessions today was, I thought he did a good job. I didn't think we found out anything that we didn't think we were going to find out, which was pretty much nothing. He explained why he recused himself.
I received only the limited information that the department's career officials determined was necessary for me to form and make a recusal decision. As such, I have no knowledge about this investigation.
Zero knowledge about the investigation. You would think he would know more about what's going on. He may have recused himself, but I would find it I find it strange because he said he hasn't been really briefed on it or anything. You should know. Even though you may not be involved, you still should have an understanding of what's going on, right? Right? You should. It's like you're an injured athlete. Doesn't mean you may not train with the team or play in a game, but it doesn't mean, I haven't watched anything. I don't even know if we're still playing anymore. I mean, you should still have an idea of what's happening. But he recused himself.
I thought there was a problem with me being able to serve as Attorney General over this issue, and I felt I would possibly have to recuse myself, and I took the position correctly, I believe, not to involve myself in the campaign in any way.
So there you go. I mean, it was kind of what we thought it was going to be. There wasn't too much gotcha moments. There was a few persnickety moments, a few moments of levity, but it wasn't. Last week was pins and needles and an anticipation. And a lot of that was because of the FBI director, his relationship with Trump, the fact that people don't like Trump, the media playing it up, making it so massive. And so a lot of it, there was as much manufacturing as there was interest. Like, you're being told, you've got to watch this. You've got to watch this. This is the most important thing. By the way, we had Dan Coats last week, right? You know, Rod Rosenstein. We've had Comey now, and we've had Sessions. There's a few others that are going to face some time in front of the Senate Intel Committee there. But for all intents and purposes, I see no there, and we're going to continue to move forward when people still want to know why it's costing them $1,200 a month for their health care when they were supposed to save $2,500, why the GOP is not doing the things they said they were going to do, and they've got the majority, not a supermajority, they can't just rush things through, but why are things not getting did the way they should get did? That's, I think, what a lot of people want to know. And at some point in time, the GOP's got to do something on their own. They can use this excuse no more. You can't. Fisher cut bait because you're not getting stuff done, and you need to start getting things done. Get it through. Get it down. Have the Senate sort it out. Get it sorted out there. Get it off to the president. He signs or he doesn't sign. But you got to start doing something because your time, because you guys are on the clock. You're on the clock. People are looking. They're wondering. Oh, you can scream obstruction. You can scream all of that stuff. But if you put stuff in front of the president and he chooses not to sign it, that's on him. But if you do nothing, that's on you. That's absolutely on you. 100%. At some point in time, you've got to make the effort. How about an infrastructure bill? Yeah. Healthcare is already down there in the Senate, but I think it's DOA. Beep. All right. Waiting. Taxes. Anyone? We still have a whole immigration issue that's not being dealt with properly. The only wall that's being built is being built with Trump's mouth right now. And it's doing a hell of a job, by the way. But how about that? How about rolling back a lot of these regulations? He can only do so much. Through executive order, we need stuff that's going to stand, not stuff that could be undone. We're waiting. Put it in front of him. I think you'll be fine with that. But somebody start to do something. And yes, you've done some stuff, Paul Ryan, but you haven't done what a lot of the people are looking at. This world we live in is perception is reality. They're perceiving you're not doing enough. And the stuff that needs to get done, the big stuff, that's going to catch people's eye. You sell the sizzle, not the steak. And we're waiting. People are waiting. Jeff Sessions, I thought he was pretty good today. I really did. I thought he was, I saw a good portion of it. I got kind of bored. I'm not going to lie. I was at the gym. And I was running. I'm like, I'm going to watch ESPN. There's only so much I can take, some of this stuff. Last week, I sat through all of the Comey thing, and I thought today, Sessions, man, he seemed to be there forever. But I thought he was pretty good. And they asked him over and over again, it's all about the contact with the Russians. Do you have contact? Do you have any kind of contact?
I did not have any private meetings, nor do I recall any conversations with any Russian officials at the Mayflower Hotel. I did not attend any meetings at that event.
No meetings at the event. And it's funny. Have you seen the whole, they show Jeff Sessions. There's this, this whole, group of people. They're sitting in looks like an open room. And Jeff Sessions walked by, and I think he shakes somebody's hand that happens to be Russian, and somehow that's a meeting? Well, yeah, technically it is. Oh, okay, whatever. Let's get over ourselves. Let's move on. People want to know what you're going to do. People want to know how you're going to start to put all of this stuff you said you were going to do. Repeal and replace, taxes. You got a president that's a Republican, more a Trumpian, but a Republican. You've got the House, you've got the Senate, may not be for long. You better start sorting this stuff out sooner rather than later. People are looking to you, which A is the first mistake. But when it comes to things like healthcare, they got no choices. Taxes, they got no choices. Repeal and replace, they got no choices. Infrastructure, they don't have a lot of choices. So they're looking for you to get to work. Waiting. Let this stuff play itself out. Let it all play itself out. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. But here we are, 11 months into this thing, 6 months of investigations. There's still nothing there. They're looking left, right, and center. Trying to find something. I don't know what it is. Digging it up. Going down rabbit holes, as they said today. Old Tom Cotton there. Going down the rabbit hole. How many times are you going to do that? You're now just trying to do all you can to connect all of the dots, even if they really don't connect. You're going to figure out a way to try to make them connect. But you're not going to impeach him. There's a majority there. It's not going to happen unless there's something so outrageous. So what are we really doing at this point in time? Russians have already been into our elections before this. They'll be into our elections after this, just like we're in other people's elections across the board. Knowing is more than half the battle in a situation like this. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chatbensonshow.com. Text the program 323-538-2423. Jack is off on Friday. We're taking a little trip to Grandma's house we go. It is driving season, full swing. Last thing you want is your road trip ruined. We love taking our cars and going places. And you don't want your road trip ruined by an unexpected repair, costing hundreds, potentially thousands of dollars. So you know what? I recommend doing what I did, which is getting extended vehicle service protection from CarShield. A new water pump, $500. Huh? New air conditioner, $1,000, $1,500. Transmission, $2,000, $3,000. Oh, engine, 5 G's. Expensive. But you love your car. I love your car. Well, let me tell you, CarShield is the ultimate extended vehicle service protection. It's affordable protection that can save you thousands for a covered repair. Think about this, all right? People ask me, well, is it just your engine? No, no. The GPS, the electronics, we all know what those cost. Yes, even a simple sensor can cost a grand. You can pick your favorite mechanic. You have 24/7 roadside assistance. They'll make sure you have a rental car while your car's in the shop, and they take care of everything, including paying the mechanic directly. They go straight to the mechanic. You don't have to front anything. VIP treatment, to say the least. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield like I did before something goes wrong. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Benson, a deductible may apply. What's next in the world of PC history? Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
Basically, I'm not allowed to make any money off my YouTube video.
I like pushing buttons. Just want to say that, guys. I do like pushing buttons.
It is one of the most vexing questions of revolutionary era why so many of our great founders were simultaneously slaveholders.
Here are these great men who created the nation, and yet they have blood on their hands.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Patrick Henry, George Mason, on and on and on.
How can people who spoke words like all men are created equal still hold hundreds of thousands of people in bondage?
So, Sam Houston may be the next in line to take it. Thinking about and trying to figure out a way to take him away. Look, we cannot. I don't care how PC you are. We look back at our founding fathers, and yes, I will tell you this right now. Based on the world that we live in today, what they did was horrible. And the day that they lived in, it was what they did. Not excusing what they did, because it is a deplorable, disgusting act. The likes of Washington and so many of our founding fathers that, yes, owned slaves. But at what point can we look at somebody like Sam Houston, who tried to better the situation, and say, hey, you know what? This is history. And if we're going to be revisionist history, we're not even revising history. We're just eliminating it as if it never happened. It's ridiculous. So you got a statue, Sam Houston. They want to get rid of it. Like they want to get rid of every other thing that they deem to be evil and bad. We don't do that. That's not who we are. We have come a long way. We need to recognize what took place back then, not wash it away. What's next is, I think, more and more of these are going to take place, where people are going to get rid of more and more names off historical colleges, off of buildings at colleges, off of maybe, dare I say, not only streets, but cities potentially. But it doesn't change what took place. The good and the bad is part of who we are as people. We'd all like to say, I didn't make that mistake. I didn't screw up like that. I didn't do those things. But we can't. That's what makes us who we are. But this PC culture that we live in is doing all they can to try to eliminate all of that stuff. And that's not good, because those of you who fail to understand history are doomed to repeat it. And to take it away, I fear, is absolutely asinine and stupid. Bill in Jacksonville, Florida. What's up, my man? How are you today?
I'm great, Chad. How are you doing, sir?
What's up, man?
Just have a question about this whole Russian business. The left is desperately trying to prove a connection, trying to connect the dots, as you were saying earlier, between the Trump campaign and the Russians releasing this information. Well, what if they find something? What's the crime? The leak, the information is actually true. Damaging as it was to Hillary's campaign, I mean, it's kind of sad we had to rely on another country to bring this out, but, I mean, is it really criminal?
Well, what they've done is, of course, criminal. But the truth is that's them in another country, and unless we catch somebody here, did the Trump campaign, if they went and ordered it included, yeah, there's going to be some trouble. But them doing what they did, you can't blame Trump or anybody else for those kind of things. We just need to figure out how we go about trying to prevent it in the future. But they're going to do all they can to muddy the waters when it comes to Trump and to make him look worse and worse over time. He does a lot of that on his own. I think we can all recognize that. And at the same time, the frustration comes from the fact that there isn't really any there. And the criminality of it all, the obstruction of justice, the high crimes and misdemeanors, we're not finding any of those things. So there is no criminality at this point in time, and I don't know if there's going to be. The criminality will come, though, if you lie to Congress, if you lie to the Senate, if you lie to the government, if you lie to anybody in the government. That's when that potentially comes. I appreciate your call, man. Thanks for holding on. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. We'll grab you in a second, Ben. Talk about the political correctness. It is crazy that we want to get rid of all of this stuff. It's overdone and ridiculous, and it also, I think, takes away a part of who we are in history, which we should not be doing. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Telling you, political correctness, it's eating us up inside. And I don't think people understand that. Sam Houston, now let's get rid of his statue, right? Let's get rid of everybody at every college who a long time ago, long, long time ago, no matter what they did for our country, they did something that we deemed to be offensive. And yes, let's be real. Slavery was a disgusting, horrible, deplorable act. We shouldn't always have to preface that. But our founding fathers, should we just tear up the Constitution? I mean, is that something? Is that what's next? 844-DIG-CHAD. Ben in Texas, what's happening?
Yeah, I just want to say you're looking at it in the wrong light. I think it's a good thing because the liberals want to live in a magical land of make-believe, which is out of sight, out of mind. So this is the resolution, like once they take all of our history out, the African-American community can no longer complain about slavery because they're going to erase all of our history. So that's the answer to the how do we do reparations to the African-American community. Well, we just erase all of our history from our founding fathers and American history, and slavery never happened. How about that?
Well, they want a utopia, Ben. They want a utopia. That's just it. They want a unicorn, rainbow world, loving utopia where all of this stuff never took place and that they get to make up all the rules as they go along. And that's not the reality. The fact is we've got to recognize our past. But if that's what they want to do, knock yourself out. And like you said, we'll just wipe it all, the slate clean as it never happened. And the truth is America only began when the millennials were born. I appreciate your call. Thanks for holding on. Speaking of that, Is it a sickness and illness? Joining us now is Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. She's a research psychologist and psychoanalyst, and she's got a question she's posed to people. Are people who are perpetually offended suffering from a mental disorder? Dr. Birnbaum, thanks so much for joining us today. So let me ask you this, Dr. Birnbaum. The people who are completely offended on a day-to-day basis, are they suffering from something?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes what we do, we set up issues that are laying dormant. So for overly sensitive, it could be about old relationship, five years and on, experiences in your childhood that keep seeping through. And you have to realize this. So a lot of it is what you're projecting yourself onto other people as well. So you have to take a step back when you're saying somebody is offending you or you're offending someone else. You know, what does that mean? So one thing, absolutely don't talk about politics, especially about President Trump. I just had a patient walk out on me, so be careful about that. But aside from that, you know, there are people who are jealous, and they're often offensive, and then you become offended. So you have to know who you're talking to. Toxic people often make you feel worse when they walk away. If that's the case, keep away from them. So when we're looking at people who laugh at others, who put people down, who are bullies, type of people that will only sap you. Those are the type of people that are takers more than givers. So yes, you're right to be offended by that. But if you're looking to be offended, if you're finding that you're paranoid and you're constantly seeing something that someone is doing wrong to you and you're looking them under a microscope, then you better readjust your frame lens and see how you see the world, because otherwise you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. And there are people who are actually happy a lot because they see things in a much more positive way.
You know, doctor, you talk about people that are offended. Let's be real. We live in a world now of a PC culture where kids are running around upset, angry all the time. The resist movement, everybody's offended. They live in this fear that there's somehow this new tyranny because of the president. And they're offended at everything, no matter what you say, whether it's an offhand joke or a tweet that they decide, hey, I have deemed that to be offensive. How do you deal with individuals who, let's be real, they wake up in the morning and they're ready to be offended?
Well, you know, when you're narcissistic and you think everything is about you and you're the one that has all the answers, well, guess what? If everybody else is wrong around you, you're going to be offended. You have to be open and flexible, especially today. We're not necessarily politically correct. And in many ways, it's very refreshing to have change and to be, really step out of the box. So if you can see it that way, instead of being stiff and arrogant about people around yourself and judgmental, maybe the one that's offending is you, not the offender. So you have to really look at your lifestyle. Are you miserable? Are you really critical and people are just looking to see what you're projecting and giving it back to you? Where are you in your life and where have you been? Because if you keep moving on and you keep making changes, then you don't get fixated on how other people treat you or they don't treat you. You're not on empty. You're not looking to be filled up by other people around you.
Talking to Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, research psychologist and psychoanalyst, talking about people who are offended all the time. And you know what's funny is, for me, as a comic and somebody who does that, when I find that people are offended, which is often always because everybody seems to be so, you know, just as absolutely their panties in a bunch and freaking out all the time, when I find somebody who's offended all the time, whether it's comedy or this, that, and the other, you know what? You tend to go at them a little bit more. They don't understand that, and it's amazing because it is so easy to go after them because everything offends them.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you get paid to be laughed at, and people are comfortable with that, and they probably like you more because when you're vulnerable, you're real. Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. And that's something that other people just don't get. They want to give an image of perfection. They want to give an image of who they're supposed to be. But at the end of the day, we all close our doors, go into our home, and we all have dysfunction around us. Even me, the psychologist, what can I tell you? So when you can laugh at those things that happen in life, there's always stuff happening to you, then you can really let go and finally be yourself. So if people would think of you as a comic and really looking at things in a colorful way, wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live our lives?
It would be absolutely wonderful. And you know what? I've always said that if you can be self-deprecating and you can laugh at situations, it takes the sting out of so much. But yet there are people out there who wake up every day. They're looking to be and they're looking to victimize themselves, be micro-oppressed and micro-aggressed. And it's hard in a world to not offend somebody when everybody lays eggshells around everywhere.
And, you know, what's interesting about that is the more that you talk about your problems, the more you're stuck with your problems because nobody really has time or can help you with your issues. So it's a lazy way out anyway. If you empower yourself and you go out there and you say, look, other people are there in a different way. Understand where they're coming from. Understand where you're coming from. And then make those changes. Then you're projecting in a way that people really want to see you in a positive, strong way. So you really have to know who you are first before you interpret how other people see you. So you're right. You can't be weak. You can't be victimized because you'll just stay there. And it's a lazy way out for getting other people to do the dirty work for you, which is called passive-aggressive behavior.
Thank you very much, Dr. Frieda Bermond. We appreciate that coming on. And guess what? Everybody out there, for all intents and purposes, Dr. Bermond, is just you got to go out and offend them because it's going to make them tougher. I appreciate you coming on today.
I've always offended people. What can I tell you? Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, you know what? We're offended at every. It doesn't matter what we do anymore, right? You live in a world of political correctness. This is the stuff that you get. Political correctness, whether it be let's take down this or let's take down that. Let's go back and rewrite history. It doesn't matter. Political correctness doesn't get us anywhere. What it does is it takes away from truth. It takes away from fact because we're more worried about the feelings, and we can't do that. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Jerome, Jacksonville, Florida. What's happening?
Hey, man, how's it going? Hey,
it's going good,
I just want to say, you know, that's good. I just want to say I agree with pretty much everything the doctor said, but, you know, one of the things that, you know, that really helped me, encouraging to me is, and I like to see more of it, is, you know, I really, you know, as a black American, I get tired of Caucasians have to apologize for what happened 300 years ago. You know what I mean? And I think it's kind of ridiculous because, like you said earlier, slavery was, that was going on then. And so, you know, it's just idea that, you know, and after this election, you know, hey, I'm a Trump here. I mean, I campaigned for him. And I recognize some things that, you know, that traditional, now, you know, I see white people having to apologize for everything now. And it's getting ridiculous, and that's not America, you know. We can't apologize what happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you know. And I think, you know, it makes me sick because what it does is give people a room to kind of push back and make you start step back, backtracking. And then you got to justify everything you've done in your life. So,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely, my man. I appreciate your call. And you know what you do? What ends up happening for people is they start to victimize themselves, Jerome. They make themselves victims in situations where they were not victimized themselves, but they're able to do that. One more quick call here. Let's squeeze it in. Brian and Indy, what's happening?
Hey, Chad, let me give you a quick history on the slavery issue. Back in the day, over in Africa, these African tribes were like Native American tribes, okay? They fought amongst themselves. And if you happened to be captured by these tribes, you became a slave to these tribes, okay? So now these American-owned ships flying the United States flag for over 80 years on the North Atlantic go to Africa with sugar, cotton, tobacco, rum. They exchange that cargo for these slaves and bring these slaves back to Boston, New York, and Baltimore, owned by American slave, northern slave ships owned by northern men. That's how they profit. Then they sold them to the southern plantations at an inflated price. So in all actuality, the African American was put into slavery by their own people. True historical facts.
Yeah, I get that, my man. I appreciate that call, my man. And look, you know what? Slavery was horrible, and yet what he's saying is right. The Africans went and they sold other Africans. Tribes fought with other tribes, just like here, Native Americans fought with other Native. It happened. Wasn't right. It was horrible. But if you go to every continent on Earth that had humans, there were issues there across the board. And we should never forget slavery. That's why we shouldn't get rid of the history that we have. We need to embrace our past, as bad and as horrible and as dark and evil as it was at times, so we can look forward, see the progress we made, learn from the mistakes, and continue to move forward. If we don't do that, you watch what happens, kids. Those of you who fail to understand history are doomed to repeat it. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. It is the Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? Man spreading is now something hopefully the people of Madrid will no longer have to worry about.
A bus, a train, or even a plane. We're talking about the practice unique to the fellas. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. The dreaded manspreading. And now, in Madrid, Spain, on public buses, it's against the law. The city's transit agency is going to post these signs, letting people know to take up just one seat. The decision comes after months of campaigning from women's groups to get the signs up and running. Now, New York City and Japan have already adopted similar signs, making sure men keep their legs together.
Okay, so here's my question. What if you're fat? Nutritional overachiever. A person of size. Ginormous. What if you're so big you take up two seats? What about that? That's right? Like, okay, so man spreading is out. And here's the other thing. What if I'm the only person on one side of the train or the bus? Right? That's a fair question, right? So ridiculous. Women groups have been lobbying. I need to get this done. Come on now. Come on, man. That's insane. Is it that big of a deal? I'm on it. Like, Phil, you take public transportation. So you have been on said vehicles before.
Yes, on a few occasions.
Is it that big of a deal? I mean, is there an all-out, like, fight of men spreading out and women fighting and taking? I mean, I don't see this to be a big thing, but it is becoming a big thing.
I've never noticed an awful lot. I do notice, especially when I take the subway, you know, people always take up two seats because they'll sit down, then they'll put their bags on the other one, and if you walk in and the train's crowded, they're not moving them.
Yeah. See, they should have bag spreading more than man spreading. It's like when you go to a theater, right, and you don't want people to sit next to you, and you'll put something there, like, even though you've got nobody else coming, oh, that thing's taken. It's like, but, man, this is so stupid. Oh, my God, it's insane. This is the world we live in, people. This is it. Man spreading. Bill Cosby say, woo, the jury's been sent home. They're into deliberation going on day two. I don't know what's going to happen. Longer it goes, they asked today to listen and to reread some stuff that he did when he was deposed about this case. I think it's 2005, 2006. So I don't know where this is going to go. I mean, I don't think anybody knows where this is going to go at this point in time. I think they're all just going, but I said it earlier. 60 is the number I think it's at right now. 60. And I put the over-under of he's got 18 months or so, life-wise. I mean, he's 79. He looks to be in frail health, and I don't know how much that is a play on it. But 60, say, whoop, that's the way I feel. You're at the point now where you should just, you should assume that one of these 60s is going to be right. And they're just so consistent. And you have some people in there that may be questionable, but you've got a lot of people inside. There's a lot of women who, their stories seem to jive up, and they're credible. They're credible. So that $400 million better be in a trust. 60. Man, that is 60. 60. 60. 60. That's a say, woo, 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 woo. I mean, 60. Is he, like, if you think about it, is he one of the most prolific serial rapists, if found guilty, in American history? That's a 60. I'm just throwing it out there, people. Just throwing it out there. Chad, you're being mean to Bill Cosby. Don't care. Don't care. These are true. If these allegations are true, and 60. I'm just putting that to 60. That's more hits than Joe DiMaggio had on a streak. I'm just throwing it out there. That's it. Just you take it for what it is. But I think it's disgusting. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. Text us always, 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.